This podcast is for general information only. It is not intended as a substitute for general healthcare services. If you have medical conditions, you need to see your doctor. Use of this information is at the user's own risk. Welcome to FitRx with Dr. Greg Dennis. Join me as we challenge the standard sick model of healthcare. This is your source for everything health, wellness, prevention, fitness, biohacking, and more. Welcome to FitRx. I'm your host, Dr. Greg Dennis. This is part two of my interview with Dr. David Billstrom on preventing and treating autoimmune diseases. If you have not listened to the first episode, I would encourage you to go back, listen to that one first, and then continue with this one. This ended up being one of my, both of these episodes together ended up being one of my favorite episodes that I've done in a while, just because of the information that was presented. I thought he did a fabulous job, you know, just for the general health recommendations, but also specifically, I find sometimes it'd be pretty difficult to treat. And so I thought his approach and his recommendations were fantastic. And so if you struggle with any autoimmune disease, or you know somebody that struggles with autoimmune disease, and I'm sure you do because it is so prevalent, I would encourage you to forward both of these episodes to them. So without further delay, we are just going to jump into part two with Dr. David Billstrom. I missed what you said after food sensitivities. What was the number five thing?
Well, then vitamin deficiencies.
Okay. Yeah. Talk about that one a little bit, if you will. So you mentioned vitamin D. What else do you typically find in that?
So kind of the big picture is we feel like we can heal their gut enough, they're going to start absorbing nutrients better on their own, a whole lot better. So they're going to fix a lot of the vitamin deficiencies. So we do is kind of a small package. We look at the vitamin D, of course, but vitamin D is more of a hormone than it is a vitamin, a little bit misnamed, more of a pro-hormone. We check ferritin, which is iron stores. We check B12. We check homocysteine, which is basically a marker of B vitamin status in general. We look at red blood cell zinc, red blood cell magnesium. Zinc and magnesium are notoriously hard to get from the bloodstream, the serum, into the cells themselves. And truly, that's where the action is in the body, is in the cells, not in the blood. So we check red blood cell zinc, red blood cell magnesium, and am I missing anything? Yeah, there's probably something else in there that I'm blanking on right now. I'm so sorry. But those are kind of the main ones. And if there's one or two that are profoundly low, we'll treat with the individual vitamin. If they're kind of low on all the stuff, they go, oh yeah, you're probably, because you're low on everything we tested, we're probably low on everything we didn't test. So we'll just put you on a really high quality multivitamin, perhaps instead. And but then we're thinking, okay, so we're doing this stuff, we're getting some nutrients in that you need to heal, these basic building blocks that are needed to make things, fix things, be happy and healthy. But you're eventually going to absorb all these other nutrients by your gut as it gets healthier. And we can get you probably healthy enough that you might not even need a multivitamin or individual nutrients supplementation eventually.
Okay. Well, very nice. And then what was after vitamin deficiency? What was number six?
That was the hormones.
Hormones. Okay. Yeah. Talk a little bit more about that, if you will.
So hormones are great anti-inflammatories. They keep away inflammation. And by keeping away inflammation, they keep away disease. So this is where people, we should be able to make our hormones well our whole life. There's a kind of a misunderstanding that we only need hormones when we're younger. In women, for example, estradiol, one of the estrogens, super important to keep away heart attacks and keep away strokes. Super important for the eyes. So estradiol keeps away cataracts and macular degeneration, keeps away osteoporosis, keeps the gut healthy. The gut needs estradiol. It keeps away fine lines, wrinkles in the skin. It's super important. You need your whole life. After menopause, when the ovaries shut down and don't make estrogen, we have to make that a different way. But it's a good example of how you got to make these hormones your whole life. Now, individually, each hormone is vitally important, but oftentimes the balance can be even more important. So a huge central mechanism of disruption of the immune system in women is estrogen dominance, too much estrogen compared to progesterone. So people may ask, well, what does estrogen dominance look like? What does it show up as? And I say, oh my gosh, this is why I call estrogen dominance the most dangerous disease for women, because it will show up as every hormonal menstrual thing. So bad flows, bad cramps, premenstrual syndrome, ovarian cysts, polycystic ovarian syndrome, uterine fibroids, endometriosis, fibrocystic breast disease, infertility, that's all tied in with estrogen dominance. But also because estrogen revs and progesterone calms, it drives excessive worry, anxiety, panic attacks, sleep issues, sleep disruption in women. So you look at that hormonal menstrual stuff, rev without calm stuff, and it is so hard to stay healthy nowadays, especially in women. You go like, oh my goodness, what woman does not have one or 10 of those things? They're so common, and they can start right when you start your menstrual cycles. You know, girls starting 12, 13 have this stuff. So you have any of that stuff, you know, you got estrogen dominance. Now, unfortunately, oftentimes the treatments will make it worse. So you got all this bad menstrual hormonal stuff. Oftentimes the treatment offered is oral birth control pills. And it basically puts you, there's such powerful estrogen, they put you into menopause. And menopause is fine when you're at the right age, but you don't really want to be in menopause basically when you're 13, 15, 20, 25. Now this tends to be more if you're using them for the hormonal menstrual issues than if you're using them just for birth control. But using these for these hormonal menstrual issues is quite problematic. One reason is, well, they're estrogen based, and you're treating an estrogen dominant situation with more estrogen. That's not even bioidentical estrogen. It worsens the estrogen dominance. Okay, well, eventually now you are so bad you need a hysterectomy. Your flows, your cramps, your fibroids, so you need a hysterectomy. Well, any change in the anatomy down there will worsen the estrogen dominance. Again, take one ovary out, leave everything else in. Makes estrogen dominance worse. Leave ovaries in, take out the uterus, makes estrogen dominance worse. Even tubal ligations will make the estrogen dominance worse. There's a 30% decreased blood flow to the ovaries with a tubal ligation. Throws off the estrogen dominance even worse. And so you get rid of the uterus, let's say, well, my flows are gone, you know, all that. Well, your estrogen dominance even worse. And so the reason this is one reason why 80% of people that get autoimmune disease are women, huge reason is this estrogen dominance. But also it's, hey, you don't go up without going down. You lose the immune system at that point. You are going down and up. So this is where women before menopause with estrogen dominance have a 5.4 times greater risk of breast cancer before menopause. Not twice the risk, not three times the risk, 5.4 times greater breast cancer risk before menopause. And I was kind of getting that information. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're watching a news show in the morning. Across the ticker down below, something comes out. Hey, something has been identified that doubles your risk of breast cancer. Oh my gosh, it'd be a national outcry. Three times. Oh my, 5.4 times the risk, though. And that's not bad enough, a 10 times greater risk of malignant cancers, cancers that start one place and metastasize other places, 10 times greater risk of malignant neoplasms your entire life. This estrogen dominance is so bad, but then if you don't fix it, you're just set up for autoimmune disease and cancer. So this is where we're really, really trying to educate women and parents with daughters with this stuff, that this is what all these hormonal menstrual rev without calm things, this estrogen dominance, let's fix it. Let's fix it now. So you get rid of all this crummy stuff. You don't want any of that kind
Sure.
of stuff. That's a mess as it is. But we are doing our due diligence to prevent all this other stuff down the line.
And what do you recommend fixing that first? I guess talk about premenopausal and then maybe after menopause, women doing hormone replacement therapy and different things. But I guess first talk, kind of premenopausally and all those things. And I'm sure there's a lot of overlap with everything else that you've talked about, but what are some of the specific things that you recommend for fixing
Oh
that
yeah,
estrogen dominance?
you're good. I think you know where I'm going to go with this. cortisol is part of the same hormone production cascade as estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, important other hormones, DHEA, pregnenolone. So cholesterol made by the liver, That's why they call cholesterol the mother of all hormones. Gets a bad rap, but we'd be dead without it. Cholesterol, mother of all hormones, turns into all these downstream hormones I just mentioned, including cortisol. Well, when cortisol gets kicked up into the stress mode, fight or flight mode, cholesterol will start shunting towards cortisol production, and it will start not being able to make these other downstream hormones. The first hormone in the steroidogenic hormone production cascade that gets depleted is progesterone. So progesterone starts to drop because of chronic stress. Well, then when the gut's disrupted, we can't get rid of toxic stuff from the body. Toxins, including toxic old estrogens, once they've been in our system for a while, yeah, the new ones get rid of inflammation, keep us healthy. But once they've been in the system for a while, they get dinged, they get beat up, they become irritating and toxic to the system. Gotta run our detox pathways, gotta dump them into the gut, gotta poop in the toilet. But with a leaky gut, they reactivate. They reabsorb, they start building. So you start getting building of old toxic estrogens, get too low progesterone. Here's that estrogen dominance. So, red without calm, if you're not sleeping, you're stuck in the stress mode, you're not going to fix anything. So, one thing we oftentimes do, as soon as we do the blood test, simple blood test, run in any lab, we run estradiol and estrone and progesterone. You see this estrogen dominance, and a woman's not sleeping. She's anxious beyond belief. She's got panic attacks and nightmares, menstrual hormonal stuff. But one thing we'll do is, well, let's get you on a prescription medicine covered by insurance, of course, progesterone, 100 milligrams. Take it 1 to 2 hours before bedtime if you can't fall asleep and stay asleep, or just fall asleep right at bedtime if you fall asleep but can't stay asleep. And if a woman has the right amount of oral progesterone, she will sleep like a baby. She will be so chill and calm. So we'll tend to say, okay, start with 100 milligrams because we really got to get this estrogen down. We don't want this to sit out there because we don't need you getting cancer. We don't need you getting autoimmune disease if you don't already have it. We don't need your autoimmune disease to get worse. And you don't need all this other stuff going on. So we want to take care of this. So 100 milligrams, if you're not sleeping like a baby and feeling totally chill in 5 days, which really takes probably about 2 days usually, 5 days, we're going to go up to 200 milligrams. Oh, they are so happy. They are sleeping like they never slept before. They are so calm and chill. They already are like, oh my gosh, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel already. Well, cool. Now, you probably won't be on it forever because we reset cortisol. You can make this on your own eventually. So, but now we got the estrogen dominance kind of well balanced. Well, then we go back. We got to fix the gut. So you can start detoxing old estrogens, but then you're getting rid of all kinds of toxins in the body. We fixed the leaky gut. Good. You can detox better. Good. You're in a position to reset these food sensitivities. You get that estrogen balance and progesterone balance. Hey, all this stuff is going on that is estrogen dominance based. Hey, I bet you don't need this birth control pill anymore either. So we usually try to get them off the birth control pill pretty quick because it's just creating the leaky gut in the first place. And inflammation all over. This is where rule of thumb, never take an oral estrogen, whether bioidentical or non-bioidentical, because first pass metabolism through the liver creates toxic estrogen metabolites that drive everything crazy. This is one reason why when people are put on birth control pills, oral birth control pills, they're told, oh, by the way, this will increase your risk of heart attack, stroke, and blood clots. It's so much inflammation in the vasculature, right? So we also know the oral estrogens are creating the leaky gut, adding to the toxicity, adding to the estrogen dominance. So within about 2 to 3 months of feeling like we got a better handle on this estrogen dominance, we're probably in a position to stop the birth control pills that were started because of all the hormonal menstrual stuff. And just about 95% of the time, they'll start their cycles again and they'll be totally cool. It won't be problematic. We go, we can't stop them right away because if we stop them right away before we fix the gut and start fixing the estrogen dominance, you're just going to get the bad flows, bad cramps, PMS back like crazy. So we got to wait. Can't stop it right away. But after a couple of months, the body's fixing the things pretty quickly here, including cortisol finds it so much easier to find calm if it's one of its very few hormone friends that creates calm. Progesterone is helping it find calm again. Most hormones rev. Progesterone calms. Cortisol is going to have the hardest time finding calm without its good friend progesterone that creates calm. So cortisol is reset. A couple months, we stop the birth control pills. They go, oh my goodness, my cycles have started. They're not bad anymore. They're fine. Oh my goodness, this is great. We go, all right, this estrogen progesterone balance has been achieved. We can see it in the blood test as well, but we now see it in the patient. They're sleeping like a baby. They're super chill. Cycles are good. They go, oh my goodness, we got this. The gut better, cortisol better, the hormone symphony's better. We probably got rid of some of these infections. We're creating physical stress to allow us to reset the cortisol as well. And then this is where the women go, oh my gosh, I just feel so much better. And now we feel so happy because we've actually done our due diligence to prevent them from ever getting the autoimmune disease or cancer in the first place. Or if they already got this, and I got to tell you, this estrogen is such a killer for the immune system. We'll see women in their 20s with five or six autoimmune diseases already. We'll actually see, even without the estrogen dominance, we'll see kids like 6-year-olds with three to four autoimmune diseases already. This is like crazy common nowadays, but it'll totally turn them all around, and they're well on the way to, never having to deal with cancer, as well.
Now, in a menstruating woman, do you have them take the progesterone every day, every night, or do you do it cyclically, kind of along with their, maybe take a mid-cycle?
So this is where I think the body is a great example of the body is so darn smart. You would think because cycles, hormones cycle with the cycles, right? Different amounts released by the body at different times of the menstrual cycle, but typically we'll use it every night, and it won't shut down menstruation. We get the calm, get the sleep, we get the hormone balance, and then before we ever really have to think about, well, maybe should we start cycling this? We're probably in a position to come off of it because what we'll do is we'll do a blood test and go, oh, look at your progesterone level that was totally tanked, come up to a perfect level with 100 or 200 milligrams of progesterone medication-wise. But then we do the next blood test and their levels go up higher. And we go, oh, well, you're on the same dose of medicine. Your level is higher in the body. You must be making it on your own better. We're probably in a position to start pulling back on this. So in a perfect world, if you need to use progesterone, regularly or any bioidentical hormone restoration therapy, the female body really likes different amounts of hormones some days compared to others. And so we'll go, okay, well, in a perfect world, if we got to use this long term, let's do it Monday through Saturday, hold it on Sunday. Even holding it one day is enough of variation. The body kind of likes it. We might go, well, go ahead and, pull back on maybe take it 5 days a week instead of every night and see how you do on the off nights. Do you still sleep well? Do you still feel just as calm as the on nights? Oh yeah, I do. Beautiful. How about we hold it this time and but restart it and call us if you have to if you feel like you're getting anxious and can't sleep again. But so often by the time you get this whole hormone symphony better, gut which likes to throw off the hormone symphony, cortisol that likes to throw off the hormone symphony, you get both of those in a much better place. They can maintain that beautiful symphony without the progesterone. And ultimately, if a woman can make the upstream hormones, or if we can supplement with DHEA and pregnenolone, one of these upstream hormones, they're in a position to start making these other hormones, the downstream ones like the estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. I'm trying to find I don't use as much of the downstream bioidentical hormone restoration therapy that I used to. Because we can use the upstream DHEA pregnenolone, both vitally important. You hate to miss those guys, they're super important, including DHEA is profoundly important at preventing heart attacks and strokes, keep the brain sharp, keep away joint pain, keep the bone strong, and all this. They start making the estrogens and progesterone and testosterone all by themselves. And then when cortisol now has all its hormone friends in place, well, then you get the cortisol gives this huge sigh. I feel so good. Comes down to the non-stress mode. Well, now cholesterol, the mother of all hormones, doesn't have to shunt to make extra cortisol anymore because cortisol is totally chilled out. And now the cholesterol will start shunting towards all the other hormones within that steroidogenic hormone production cascade. And you start making all those hormones all by yourself, not just pregnenolone, DHEA. But even after menopause, you'll start making the estrogens, progesterone, testosterone. It's just that the transition or conversion, I should say, from like DHEA, for example, to downstream testosterone and estrogen is done at the cellular level because the ovaries have shut down postmenopausal. They've retired. They've worked very hard for many decades. Well, then you still need estrogen. You just need it made a different way, and that's where the adrenal hormones will then convert in the cells to the downstream hormones.
And How does your approach differ once they're in postmenopause?
We educate them on why it's so important that you make these hormones your entire life, such as you don't need a heart attack and stroke from low estradiol before menopause, and even any more than you need it after menopause. And so we talk about how important it is to get the balance, but also we'd love to see you have these hormones being made by yourself as part of what we can do to keep you healthy, including, with this epidemic of neurodegenerative diseases, all the Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, dementia, all this kind of stuff. Every one of the hormones we just mentioned is so important for brain function, including that pregnenolone. They kind of nickname it the brain hormone. We kind of talk about the brain sleep hormone, actually gets rid of low back pain. They did a great study in vets with low back pain. Low vitamin D can drive low back pain. Low testosterone in men can drive low back pain. Well, pregnenolone deficiency can drive low back pain in people. Oh my gosh, we fix that hormone deficiency, low back goes away. Low back pain goes away. So all these hormones are so important to keep us healthy long term. And we love to see it when people can make them on their own, like they should premenopausally, or like they should once the ovaries shut down postmenopausally.
Okay. And the last thing you talked about was environmental toxicity, another big topic. I've had episodes on the podcast before, specifically about just environmental toxicity. Man, we're just bombarded with this, and if you can drive yourself crazy thinking about this because you're like, man, I don't have a chance. Like every time I turn around, this is toxic, that's toxic. So what do you do? What's kind of your
That is so
advice to people when you talk about environmental toxicity?
so you're right. It is absolutely everywhere, and this is one of the reasons why I believe the science is pretty clear. This is why it's so unbelievably challenging nowadays to stay healthy. I'll give you an example of what we would do because of how problematic this is we kind of talk to people, well, you do your best to avoid the stuff, but truly what you want to do is you want to make sure you're so good at detoxification that you're getting rid of toxins quicker than they're getting in. If you're not getting rid of them quicker than they're coming in, they're building in your system over time. But the this really fascinating study was done about 16 years ago now, I think it was, where the question was, okay, so kids have so many health issues. Oh my gosh, autism spectrum disorder, developmental delays, ADD, ADHD, depression, anxiety, every other kid's got asthma, allergies, peanut allergies, gluten intolerances. Oh my gosh, the stuff that young people have, that's so much more than they used to have. So the question was, okay, so do these environmental toxins get into kids after they're born, or are they in them at birth? I.e., do they cross from the mother across the placenta to the baby before they're even born? So they did the study where they tested umbilical cord blood of newborns. And they said, okay, so here we are. We have tens of thousands of environmental toxins in our world already. Well, now we have over 100,000, but back then it was tens of thousands. We're going to check 400 different kinds to see if any of them are in kids at birth through testing umbilical cord blood. Well, on average, the kids had 200 out of the 400 that were tested. The researchers go, oh my gosh, that's terrible. They also said, oh my gosh, we only tested 400. If we would have tested more, we probably would have found more. So what they found was every kid born had mercury, had flame retardants, pesticides, herbicides. They checked 30 different pesticides, 30 different herbicides. On average, the kids had half of each, and every one they identified has already been identified as a cancer-causing agent. So kids are born super toxic. And so what we try to educate people on is ideally, well, the big, we can, I'd like to talk just briefly about epigenetics. So we used to think the genes were hardwired. Whatever genes we got, DNA, good, bad, otherwise, parents, grandparents, we're kind of stuck with them. Hopefully, we got more good than bad, but we're kind of stuck with it. We now know, though, it's not what genes you have, it's which ones get turned on and turned off. Epigenetics, the things that influence gene expression without changing the genetic code. Turns out we got a lot of really bad genes. Got to turn those off in every cell in our body. Got a look, a lot of good genes. Got to turn them on every cell in our body. When you're not feeling good, it's because you've turned on the bad, turned off the good. One reason why it's so easy to get a whole bunch of things going the wrong way at the same time, because every cell in our body's being told the wrong information. So ideally, what's passed from generation to generation is epigenetics. Generations before us got their genes flipped, keep passing on generation to generation. So if we can optimize epigenetics in people before they conceive a child, they're in a position to pass on cleaner genes the next 6 to 8 generations. I used to say 4 to 6, and then my daughter was doing a biology class at University of Wisconsin. She goes, Dad, guess what? My teacher taught us today. They now figured out it's 8 generations. I'm like, oh, that is so cool. I read the data, and I'm like, oh, that is so cool, 8 generations. So, but the corollary is if we don't flip our genes the right way, optimize epigenetics before conception, since having a child, we pass on crummier genes the next 6 to 8 generations. So we talk about how we're the product of the previous 6 to 8 generations. And this is where you hear things like we live the trauma of past generations. Past generations' traumas flipped their genes the wrong way. Just like we know from the Dutch hunger winter of 1944, 1945, where basically the entire country, the Netherlands, were starved. We can see epigenetic hits to them that's been passed down from generation to generation, driving higher rates of chronic disease, for example. So we say, well, let's optimize epigenetics before conceiving a child. So we're trying to teach couples before they have the kids, well, let's optimize epigenetics. Harvard told us 16 years ago, meditation works through epigenetics. All right, let's do some relaxation stuff. All right, let's get rid of these vitamin deficiencies, these hormone imbalances. But oh, by the way, here are these environmental toxins that are crazy bad for us. Now, if we fix both man and woman's by helping them detox, we're optimizing each one's individual epigenetic before conception, which is really great. We get rid of the toxins from the mom, though, then there's not nearly the environmental toxic load during pregnancy to cross the placenta to get into the baby before birth. Epigenetics starts during pregnancy, just like the intestinal microbiome actually starts during pregnancy, which is maybe a whole nother podcast. So we're optimizing epigenetics before conception, and then the parents can actually pass on cleaner genes the next 6 to 8 generations, including the child now has better epigenetics and less environmental toxicity at birth. Much better place to be if you want to get rid of or avoid a lot of this stuff you see in childhood nowadays. And then the data is very clear, though, if you kind of miss that opportunity, well, let's set epigenetics for sure before age 19. So that we can set epigenetics before age 19, a person just does not tend to get chronic health issue as an adult. You kind of got that golden window of opportunity. And then if you've been able to do it in any one of these places, or maybe you missed it, but now you got somebody who's a young adult after age 19, well, let's set your epigenetics because it's going to help you turn around whatever health issues you have already. But now we got you again before you have children. Now we can pass on cleaner genes to the next 6 to 8 generations of your family. What you do for yourself will pay dividends for generations to come.
So, is there some low-hanging fruit on environmental toxicity that of things we should just absolutely avoid? I mean, you talked about we want to optimize our health with everything else so that our body can take care of those toxins because there's no way we can just get rid of all of them and not be exposed. But are there some out there that people are doing, whether it's household items or things we're ingesting that you would say those are just absolute no-no to get rid of?
I think one thing that you had mentioned is changing the diet and going more to whole foods. The highly processed foods, the fast foods. I'm not the first one to reference them as this, but I call them food-like products. They're not even food. And so moving towards things that don't have labels around the outside of a grocery store where you pick up something. Oh, let me look at the label to see what's in it. Well, there is no label because all it is a carrot. All it is a broccoli. All it is ground beef. That kind of stuff is a really good place to start. Now, if in a perfect world, then you can start fine-tuning. I like the environmental working groups, Dirty Dozen and Clean 15. So if you say, okay, well, I may not be able to afford organic, non-GMO foods as much as I might like to or at all, but if I had to pick my spots, what would I pick? Well, you look at the Dirty Dozen, and you go, oh, okay. If I am going to buy something non-GMO organic, I'll buy one of these because these tend to be the worst offenders. And the Clean 15 Oh, okay. Well, these are the ones that tend to be pretty clean, so I don't have to worry about buying them organic, non-GMO. But maybe I'll eat more of these Clean 15 because they tend to be high quality, nutrient rich, clean. I can avoid these environmental toxins. So I think that's a nice one. And it goes back to, a little bit can go a long way when you pick some of these big ones, like avoiding environmental toxins. That's such a big one. A little bit goes a long way. Even though we know that there's no way to avoid all of it, or even 90% of it, maybe, but our bodies are so smart. If you can get rid of some of the bigger offenders like that, I think that can go a long way.
Yeah, well, very nice. Well, this has been a lot of great information, and people maybe even a little bit overwhelmed, which I can see a patient being that way. So if a patient comes to see you and say that, "Hey, doc, I've had this autoimmune disease, I want to get rid of it and maybe get off my rheumatologic medication," and you say, "Okay, well, you need to fix your gut, you need to lower your cortisol by decreasing stress, we need to check for all these infections, and you need to change your diet because you probably got some kind of food sensitivity, and we need to fix your hormones and your vitamin deficiency, and oh, by the way, there's you're getting exposed to all kind of toxic stuff in your house and in your diet. You need to change all that." I mean, I can imagine just people wide-eyed, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, where do I start?" So, where do people start? And when you're advising people, I'm assuming you kind of do more of a stepwise approach to all this stuff.
We do, because we do really say, hey, a little bit goes a long way. So we don't need you to be perfect, just perfect enough. And everybody's different on how perfect. So we do feel very strongly that knowledge is power. And so, for example, we have two different levels of courses for non-medical people, so they can understand why they got what they do and how they can even start making it go away on their own. So we have a free online 7-day email course, and each one's only about a 6 to 8 minute read. And we go through the seven emails. First one's about epigenetics, second one's about cortisol, bump, bump, bump. And so people can understand, oh, okay, this is why I got all this stuff. And oh, okay, this is what you can do to fix this stuff. And if they don't see us, that's fine, but they start the ball rolling in the right direction. Now, I also feel very strong that it needs to be an expert in every community knows how to do this. And so what I'm hoping is we educate the population themselves. They've kind of got the ball rolling. They know where to put their efforts. We don't need like 50 different supplements. We just need the biggest fish to fry. And then there's somebody locally that can walk them through the rest of the way there. We're always available, of course, if somebody doesn't have somebody locally. But really like people to know how they can do this themselves, but also why they're not feeling good. And I think that gives them a lot of hope is, well, if this is science, and we reference science all the time, of course, if this is what the science says, I have a lot of optimism that I'm going to get better. And optimism and knowledge can go a long way to start turning this stuff around.
Yeah, very nice.
And then they understand why we're asking them to do it. They go, oh, I watched those videos and now you want me to start this supplement. Oh, I know why you're doing that. And I'm going, yes, exactly. Well, this is why you asked me to change what I'm eating. Yes, that's exactly. So we're kind of like reinforcing it rather than bringing it up as a, oh, I've never heard that before. What you just told me in clinic today. They've already kind of looked, and we make it so ideally any practitioner that does, this kind of medicine can use it to help educate their patients. So when the patients come in, like for you example, they'll go, oh, this is why he's talking about this meditation stuff. And this is why he's talking about this Whole30 diet, because I learned about why foods do this. And he's probably going to talk about eventually toxicity. And I know that what he's going to be talking about.
Okay, well, man, this has been great, not only for people with autoimmune disease, but just optimizing health in general, because everything you're talking about just makes us healthier, whether we have an autoimmune disease or not. So really enjoy this conversation. It's been very educational, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to benefit from it. So to contact you is the best place, drdavidbilstrom.com.
Yeah, drdavidbilstrom.com. And then they can access over 150 different YouTube videos, everyone talking about 1 to 3 scientific articles. This is a science, social media, also the free online email course. And if they wish to read my book, it's in my textbook chapter, it's there for the reading.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you coming on. Really appreciate all the information, and thank you everyone for listening. Oh, almost forgot. I always ask my guest if they could give us one health tip that would make us healthier today. What would you say to that?
Take some deep breaths. Start resetting cortisol. It's amazing what creating calm will do for you.
Okay. Well, great advice. Well, thanks everyone for listening, and thanks again, Dr. Billstrom, and we will talk to everyone next time.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to FitRx. I invite you to share this with friends and family. If you would like, you can check out our website at vibrantlifedc.com, or you can email me at drgreg@vibrantlifedc.com.